Amen, amen. All right, we've got to get that back projector fixed. Okay, that's the next thing on the list. All right, so we're doing a series called Things Jesus Never Said. And we're doing this series for a whole lot of reasons. One, it's just a different way of looking at the Gospels, and I always like first term to have a look at the Gospels going into Easter. The second reason we're doing it is to bust a whole lot of myths about things that people say Jesus said that he didn't say. And the third reason is because we want to be aware of things that our culture is telling us when Jesus has said something actually different to what culture is saying, a whole lot of stuff. So there's a whole lot of things out there that sound good, tickles our ears a bit, and we go, that sounds nice. But then we go and read what Jesus said, and we say, hang on, Jesus didn't say that. And so we've been looking at a few different things. We looked at this one, do whatever makes you happy. I mean, that sounds good, doesn't it? Just do whatever makes you happy. It sounds right. Now, Jesus doesn't mind you being happy. If you're happy and you know it. Thank you. There you go. So, all right. We even did that one in India. Jesus doesn't mind you being happy, but this whole idea that just do whatever makes you happy isn't quite right. Go and do whatever honors God, and that's where meaning is going to be found, right? Sometimes there's things you've got to do that are costly. So it's not just do whatever makes you happy. That's one we looked at. We had a look at this one. You don't need to forgive them. I mean, there's some people, right, that you just say, well, you didn't invite me, I'm not going to invite you. That's how it's going to be. And that's how our culture says it. It seems fair enough. And yet Jesus said, you've been forgiven much, so now you've got to have an attitude of forgiveness to others. And if you've done the Bible study on that one, you might recall that it's not forgive and forget. Jesus never said that either. And that there are consequences in this life of our actions, and so we don't sweep things under the carpet and allow things to happen. And the church has been damaged by that, hasn't it? By going, oh, we just forgive and move on. Well, no. There's consequences, but we do have to have an attitude of forgiveness. Jesus expects us to forgive. And then last week was this topic, you won't have bad days. Now this one, first of all, from people outside the church, and they look in and they go, well, if your God's real, what about all this bad stuff happening? You know, and so from people outside the church, well, Jesus never said you won't have bad days. There's going to be tough times. And even inside the church, there's sometimes people inside the church that say, well, if you truly believe, you're going to be healthy, wealthy and wise, and everything you do is going to be prosperous. No, Jesus said there will be bad days. There'll be tough days, right? There'll be days of grief. Anyone ever been sick before? All of us at some point? There will be difficult days. So we're going to be careful what Jesus said. Well, today we're going to get to possibly the most controversial one at all. So stick with me. Don't get angry at the start until we get to the end, okay? And then if you still want to get angry, come get angry at me later. Because this one is quite controversial, but I actually think it's a pretty important one in our culture. And it's this. You might not like the sound of it. Jesus never said, family is the most important thing in life. Sounds a bit scary, doesn't it? Were you paying attention to the Bible reading? Jesus never said that. In fact, what he did say, what we read before, it almost sounds quite the opposite. If you're listening to the reading, and we're going to get to it again in a moment, it almost sounds too harsh. It almost sounds like it doesn't match with some other things in the Bible. And in fact, this whole section in the Gospel of Luke, and Luke was a medical doctor, and Luke, he's written these words, and this whole section's got some real hard stuff in it. Jesus talks about hypocrisy. He talks about the rich fool that saved up all his money, and then God said, what a fool, your life's going to be demanded of you now, what a waste. He talks about the narrow door, how hard the door to eternal life is narrow. He talks about the Jews rejecting him as Messiah. He talks about people that are going to one day stand before him and he's going to say, I never knew you. I never knew you. But in all that, chapter 14, he talks about humility. And then today's passage, maybe the most harshest of all. If you weren't paying attention, have a look at the reading again. This is what it says. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, even his own life, they cannot be my disciple. Now that sounds just plain wrong, doesn't it? It just doesn't sound right. I mean, Jesus said to love your enemies. Surely he wants us to love our families, right? You think so? I think so. So what on earth is going on here? Here's my awesome family. They're a pretty good-looking bunch, aren't they? Here we are at Christmas. And I love my family. And I can honestly believe I would give my life for any one of theirs. I honestly believe that. If it came to the crunch, I would give my life for one of theirs. I'd probably give my life for you too, well, most of you. There's a few rough ones there, but most of you, you know. But honestly, I would give my life for my family, and there's probably a lot of you that say that, right? That if it came to the crunch, and if it came to me or my kids, right, I love my family. I love being able to do great things with them and see their joy. I love to take holidays with my family. And next school holidays, we've rented a house with a family in Melbourne. We're going to go down and explore some stuff there. I love the joy of that. I love my family. And that probably sits well with most of you, right? We love our families. That would sit well with those in our culture as well who would say, yeah, family's the most important thing. And I think providing for our families physical, spiritual, emotional care is so important in life. And yet Jesus never said family is the most important thing in life. Instead, he said what we read before, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and his wife, I mean, it just seems insane. So what on earth is going on here? Well, a couple of things. The first thing we've got to be aware of is we never take just one verse out of context, do we? Grab one verse, ignore the rest of the Bible and go, yeah, that's what that means, do we? We've got to read it in line with everything that's been said before and after so that it makes sense. You know, people that sort of say, okay, God, what are you saying today? And they do this. You know those that kind of idea? You know, it's Jeremiah 2:4, hear the word of the Lord. And then they go, Ezekiel 4:12, God told Ezekiel to go out and cook his food on human poo and eat it. It's in the Bible. Ezekiel 4, that's what God told Ezekiel to do. Okay, God, interesting. Luke 10:37, go do likewise. Now, it's in the Bible. God told Ezekiel, go out, cook your food on human poo. You can go and read it. But, you know, this idea that you just grab a verse and go, oh, yeah, that's me. We've got to be very careful when we do that. And that's what we've got to be careful here, that we don't just grab this and go, okay, God wants me to hate my family. All right, that's good. That's not what he's saying. So what is the point? Well, let's get to the point a bit fast. Anyone's got the New Living Translation Bible? I like the New Living Translation. It's a helpful. It's close to the original, but it helps explain a few little things as well, the original Greek. And this is what it says in the New Living Translation in Luke 14, and we go to verse 25. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said, and this is what he says, verse 26 of this verse. This is how the New Living Translation helpfully explains it, I think. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Does that make sense? This is how it explains it in the context of what Jesus is doing. Jesus is comparing something that he's not saying you have to go and be bad to your family, but he's doing a comparison here. And he's saying God's number one and everything else comes under God. Did you know that? Even family comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's what he's trying to get at here. He's trying to get to the point that Jesus is first, above all else, even family. Even family. Everything, if you're a follower of Jesus, Jesus says, if you want to be my follower, everything comes under the reign of Jesus. Even your family comes under Jesus' rule and Jesus' reign. Now, if that didn't make enough sense to people, if we go to verse 27, he doubles down on this kind of idea and he says this. End of verse 26. You cannot be my disciple, verse 27. And if you don't carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be a disciple. So then he kind of doubles down. Compared to Jesus, hate your family, and you've got to carry a cross to be a follower of Jesus. Now we sit here, this side of the cross and resurrection. And for us, for me, the cross in many ways is a beautiful thing, isn't it? I mean, the cross is to us, but how many people have you seen crucified? Not many people around Caves Beach, right? Can you imagine when this was first written, people that are hearing this image that to be a follower of Jesus, take up your cross, they've been out last week watching Roman soldiers carry people on a one-way journey and they knew where they were going, right? They were going to their death. I mean, they knew that taking up your cross mean dying to everything else you want and giving all honour to Jesus. All honour to Jesus. So that's what we've got to be careful of here. So what we're not saying here, and when you look at the context of what Jesus is saying, he's not saying be nasty to your families. In fact, the Bible says the exact opposite. The Bible says you should love your family, you should care for your family, and we're going to get to that as well. But what Jesus is saying is that every single thing comes under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Everything. You know, and sadly, even around Caves Beach, there's families that have chosen family stuff instead of being part of church. Even in our local area, because they went, oh, well, I don't want to be part of that because it's got to have family time, right? And they're missing out on what's most important, right? I hate to say it. Now, what does this look like? What does this look like? Well, we can talk about some famous people first, and then we'll get a bit more talk about ourselves. And when I've talked about mission, I've talked about this guy, Adoniram Judson. You've heard of him. I've mentioned him when we've talked about mission before. He's kind of the father of American missions, they talk about. Now this guy, he was part of a team, actually, but he's known as the first American missionary in the modern era. And he was a brilliant scholar. By age three, he was reading books. But then he had lots of health problems. He missed heaps of schooling, but still got to college at 17. I mean, this guy could have been anything. He could have done anything. He was one of the most brilliant scholars going around. But in 1809, he became a Christian. And he felt this burden to go and become a missionary. And so he found some friends, and they began to pray about what it would look like to be a missionary. And they prayed at this haystack. And to this day, that's become this kind of the birthplace of American missionaries being sent, this haystack in America. And so he decided he was going to go. There's a whole lot to his story, but he was going to go to India. And in 1812, 3 years after he first felt that burden to be a missionary, he headed off to India with his wife, Anne. Now, when he was going to marry his wife, Anne, he sent this letter to her dad to ask if he could marry her. Hand up all the men that went to the father-in-law to ask to marry. Who did that? I did that. Yeah. Oh, very good. Okay. Good people. Dads like that, right? Young people. We like that. Dads like that. Who's actually had someone come and ask them if you can marry their daughter? Yeah. Or son. Yeah. You've had a few. Yes. Did you think it was good?
No, I knew it was going to happen.
You knew it was going to happen. All right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bit of respect. Well, Adoniram, when he wanted to marry Anne, he sent this letter to her dad. And this is what he said. I have now to ask you whether you can consent to part with your daughter early next spring to see her no more in this world. Whether you can consent to her departure for a heathen land and her subjection to the hardships and sufferings of a missionary life. Whether you can consent to her exposure to the dangers of the ocean, to the fatal influence of the southern climate of India, to every kind of wanton disease, to degradation, insult, persecution, and perhaps a violent death. Can you consent to all this for the sake of him who left his heavenly home and died for her and for you, and for the sake of perishing immortal souls, for the sake of Zion and the glory of God? Can you consent to all this in the hope of soon meeting your daughter in the world of glory with a crown of righteousness, brightened with the acclamation of praise, which shall redound to her Saviour from heathen saved? That old English sort of style. You know what that means, I hope. Who through her, through her means, will be saved from eternal woe and despair. Now, it's a pretty crazy letter, I know, but here, this is the start of American missionaries going overseas, and now by the millions, right? And the person that started all of that writes this letter and kind of says, you know, this is going to be absolutely shocking on my family. It's going to be tough. But you know what? God's called me to go and do this, so I've got to go and do it. Now, if family was the most important thing in life, would he have gone? Would he? No, he would have just stayed comfortable, right? Now, we get a bit closer to home, closer to us. We could talk about our friends in India. Lawyers, doctors. Now, if family was the most important thing in life, they'd just go and live their life, right? They wouldn't have spent their entire life, this family, helping more than 20,000 vulnerable people. Why would they bother? I mean, if family's the most important thing in life, and there's nothing bigger than your family, they might as well just go and do that, right? Even a bit closer to home. We'll zoom in a bit closer. And I checked with Shane and Sandra. They were happy for me to talk about this. We had a lovely morning tea last week with Shane and Sandra Ponce. And their son and his wife and their daughter are in Laos. And you can go and chat with them. Even now, they've got fears and worries, don't you? But when they first went, plenty of fears and worries. Laos is very close to Christianity. It's very difficult and dangerous. Now, family was the most important thing. They would stay here in Cays Beach, right, and build a pool and enjoyed it and lived it up and gone to the beach like I have the last week. And if family was the only thing, that was the thing that really was going to count forever, was just your family, they wouldn't bother going to Laos. And their parents, even with their fears, wouldn't bother saying, we're going to pray for you and support you. Would they just say, we're going to do everything we can to bring this unstuck to keep them here, right? If family was the most important thing. But there's something bigger. And this is what Jesus is getting at. Let's zoom in even more locally to us sitting here, because it's for us too. Jesus said, if anyone wants to be my disciple, this isn't just for the super Christians. It doesn't mean you've all got to pack up and go to Laos. They might like some company though, right? You never know. But it does mean even your family life has to be put under the lordship of Jesus Christ. there's a bigger purpose in life, there's something more meaningful, and you've got to teach your family that Jesus is number one. And sometimes it's going to cost you. Sometimes it's going to cost you. I've known people that have given up, even locally, a whole lot of stuff to bless God, to bless people, to bless His church. I've known churches where whatever people spent on their holidays, they gave to the building fund that year and halved their holidays in half to do that. Maybe building a three-story youth shed. That'd be good, wouldn't it? I've known people that have given up a whole lot in their life, that have given up relationships, a whole lot of things, because they know that Jesus is above family. It's just so important. So this is for all of us. So this is what it's really getting about. Jesus never said family is the most important thing in his life. He doesn't mean that you shouldn't love your family. That's not what this means. But it does mean that your family life has to be put under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God first, family is second, and then everything else comes after that, right? You've got to think what that means for your family. And when you do that, it's actually the best thing for your family. Here's the really funny thing about it. You think, oh, we're going to give up this. We might miss out on that in our family because we're going to do this or that to honor God. At the end of the day, that's the thing that's going to be more meaningful and bring more joy, and it's going to last forever, right? It's the thing that's going to count. So we've got to think. If I talk to parents, if you still got kids at home, we've got to teach our kids that Jesus is most important. We're going to teach our kids that it's actually worth missing out on some things that everyone else is doing to honor Jesus. That it's worth it. We've got to teach our children that it's worth sacrificing. Jesus here, when he talks about being my disciple, take up your cross. There's going to be some cost, but it's worth it. Do you know there's places in the world, we could talk about India, and there's stories there when we go to the orphanage, where people actually do lose their family for following Jesus. It's not normally the case in our area, but there's people all around our world where you want to be a follower of Jesus, you can't be part of your family, you're kicked out of the family. I mean, that's sad, isn't it? It's really sad. But there's people that know that that's the thing. Jesus first. So what have you got to do to put your family under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Family is important, but Jesus never said it's the most important thing in life. He said, sit your family under the lordship of Jesus. Make decisions in life for your family that at times it's going to cost you, at times you're going to miss out what some other people have got, but it's going to count in the long run. Now, it doesn't mean you don't look after your family. I like this little verse from 1 Timothy. Have a look at this one. Just in case you were thinking we're saying don't look after our families. Anyone who does not provide for who? Their relatives, and especially for their own what? Household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, all right? So do you see the balance? This is why we've got to read the whole of Scripture and not just take one verse, right? So don't go home today and say, Matt said I don't have to look after my family. It's not what I said, did I? Everyone's got that? All right? You got it, Marley? I didn't say don't look after your family. I said you love your family. The Bible tells us you don't provide for your relatives and for your own household. You've denied the faith. But let's also go home and teach our families that everything comes under Jesus' reign and rule. And we're going to make decisions for our family that honour Jesus even when it costs us. We're going to place it all under the lordship of Christ. Well, what I want us to do, we're going to sing a song in a moment. Can someone just run out and tell the kids' band to come back in for me? I find sometimes for me, now you don't have to do this if you don't want to, but sometimes for me, if we do something physically, it helps connect our head to our heart, and it helps me go home and think about what we've been talking about, right? And so during this last song, there's four tables set up with some candles. Jesus is the light of the world. And if you want to come and pray for someone in your family and you know they need Jesus, it might be they need healing, maybe they're physically ill, maybe you want them to be a Christian, maybe they're looking for a job. But if you want to come and light a candle and just have a moment and just pray and just say, Jesus, shine your light into them. During this last song, let's pray for our families. Because today is putting our families under the lordship of Christ. It's not hating our families, right? It's loving our family. So we're going to make sure we do that. So during the last song, you don't have to stay in your seat if you want, but for those of us that like to connect the head to the heart through action, go to one of the tables, light a candle, and ask that Jesus would shine his light into whatever that family situation for you, whoever it is you're praying for. I don't know what your family situation, what your challenges are. We're all different. But if you want to go and light a candle and just ask Jesus to do that during this last song. So I'm going to pray for us. Hopefully the band will come and join me. Otherwise, I'm singing a solo, and that won't be good for anyone's prayer or reflection. And we'll see how we go. Here they come. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to declare One of those things that the church should always be declaring in word and action: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You're the king, you're the ruler, you're the in charge. You are the most important thing in life, and you're the thing that's going to last forever and ever and ever and ever. And so we just want to pray that you would help us to get a perspective on family life. We acknowledge that in our world, the thing that's replaced you as most important is family. It's an idol in many ways in our culture. And we want to make sure we show people that our families come under Jesus. And we do things at times that might cost us some money, some time, some energy, some friends. We're going to do things that might cost us as we take up our cross, because we know the best way to live, the way that's got meaning and purpose, is to honour Jesus. So help us, Jesus, in our family life to put everything under you. Help us to teach our kids that it's worth it. It's worth being a follower of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I said, if you'd like to pray that the light of the world would shine into your family during this song, just come and light a candle and pray during this song.